Formula Access, we've got a different direction here. Spanish F4, I bring to you Miron Pingisov, who is a young driver in Formula 4, who is working his way up. You guys, this young man is an incredible person and comes from an entrepreneurial family who resides in Barcelona, Spain. You guys, seriously, young people in motorsports are amazing. Listen, learn, apply this to your life, apply this in all areas of your professional and personal lives. This young man is just an old soul, a wise person. He will explain how he got into this, his struggles, his passions, his pinch me moments. You guys, seriously, like, these are such killer conversations. I can't wait for you to hear it. Subscribe, like, comment. Follow us on YouTube. We're on Quora. We're on TikTok. We are on everything. You guys, come find us. Please give me suggestions of people that you'd like to see on the show. I have got scheduled shows till the first quarter of next year. We have people coming on that I can't give out the name yet because we have not recorded it yet, but we do have it on the schedule. So please enjoy the show. Hit me up, direct messages. Let me know who you want to see on the show. I will get them on here. Enjoy. Formula Access, welcome to another day. I've got another guest. I promised you I would be bringing motorsports to your doorstep. Today, we've got a very special guest from Spanish Formula 4. Today, we've got Miron Pingisov, young driver, chasing a dream, big plans. Miron, man, welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
I actually came across Miron on LinkedIn and, connecting with anybody that I can in motorsports. And, you know, again, many Formula One drivers don't even have LinkedIn profiles. And so I'm always excited to see, you know, when young people and young professionals create profiles and a brand for themselves. And that's one of the things that stood out for me was when young drivers begin creating a brand because they're thinking far, far down the road. So Miron, awesome, responded to it, jumped on it, seize the opportunity, doing everything a young driver should be doing to get to the highest levels. Most of our audience is US based. It is growing and expanding outside of the US. Motorsports down here has exploded over the last 2 or 3 years, primarily from Drive to Survive. And, you know, it's given our audience a very high level view of Formula One drivers, team principals, and our show is really kind of stepping in to showcase the thousands of people behind the scenes, as well as drivers and talent coming up through the support series in the junior formula and then the road to Indy as well. So real quick, let the audience know who you are and just kind of high level, what are you doing right now?
Yeah, I'm Miron. I'm now 16 years old. Basically, I started karting at 5 and then I really liked it and moved on to the professional series, which is WSK. It's the best series you can race in karting. Yeah, and then I'm here already for 1.5 years in F4. So I did the jump last year and I did basically 3 races of the closing season of 2021. And I'm doing the full season of 2022, including also the UAE Championship, which I did the first 2 months of this year.
How has that jump been going from karting to Formula 4? That's a big power step.
Yeah, it's quite a big difference because not only the horsepower is different, but also the gears are different. You have more aerodynamics, which you never worked with before. And also the functioning of the team is quite different compared to karting. Karting, like, the team teaches you, of course, to drive quickly and to win races, but also to have fun, because like from in when you're in karting, you are never sure what is your next step, or like can you do the next step. So karting, yeah, is very fun, especially when I look back at it. But then F4, it already starts to get quite serious. I mean, you have to show results, because sponsors are looking, Formula One Academy teams are looking. So if you really want to make a big step, you have to perform well. And yeah, but it was very difficult, especially for me. Comparing to my teammates and what I see this year, it was quite a difficult jump for me, because also I didn't drive for 3 months because I was involved in an accident in karting. And basically that's how I ended my career, with a broken collarbone. And then I moved to F4 after that.
How's the season gone?
Yeah, last season when I started was quite good. I was very motivated. And the last three races, I mean, was tough because I was the youngest ever person to compete in F4, which is you can only compete at 15, and was quite good. This season is a bit more difficult. People came that are at my level or even higher, and at the same age. So everyone is pushing really hard. But I had some good, decent races. For example, the first round of the F4 was in Portimao, and I finished the race in fourth and eighth, which was very important because it was in the points. And especially I enjoyed the race where I finished eighth because I started P22 due to a penalty. So yeah, it was quite a good race. But in general, it's not going that bad, like improving a bit there and a bit there, but it could have been better, but I cannot complain.
But you're learning, right? Every season, every race has a takeaway where you grow as a driver. How challenging is setup? You know, going from my son go-karts for fun, and you know, and I know we spend hours on that thing trying to get it set up and ready. When you make that jump from a go-kart to an F4 car, you now have engine professionals helping you set that up. How important is that communication and that setup? And
yeah, it's quite important, but to be honest, it's a very weird thing, especially when I'm talking to people, and I try to say that for me karting is harder to set up, even though you are like, it's smaller and everything looks simpler, because I think that it's harder to set up because in karting, the team is professional, but there are not professional engineers that do their whole, engineer their whole life. There is just the team boss and your mechanic trying to help you to set up the go-kart. So it's very hard, especially because the level is very high and the go-karts are much similar. But in F4 is also quite hard, because especially this year we are MP. I'm in MP Motorsport, is racing against Campos for the team championship. And it's very hard to set up the car to make it as fast or even faster. Because of course you have the tow, the camber, the caster, you can change a lot of things except the engine maps in F4, you cannot touch them. And you can also work with aerodynamics. So it's also very important to have straight line speed, which you have to do with a less rear wing. But of course, you also have to have the grip in corners, especially those that are quite fast. So you have to compromise a bit and really look at the data, spend a lot of time looking at the data to properly understand it.
How is that feeling of going from a go-kart, which is basically tire grip, and then going to aerodynamic grip? I mean, can you feel it kind of gripping down? I only know it from our racing sim. And of course, that doesn't even compare. It's a stupid comparison to make, but do you feel that
Yeah, you do.
Arrow grip.
Especially, I mean, you do. And that's like one of the most important things that you have to learn when you go into, when you make the swap from karting to F4. Because it's basically, you are scared to go fast in the corner, but you know that this car allows you to go fast in mid speed. So you really have to trust your car and trust the aerodynamics that they will do their job and basically make it that the car sticks to the ground and you don't go off. But I meant that especially you feel the aerodynamics, because in a race, even though they say that F4 doesn't really have aerodynamics because the front wing is very tiny and the rear wing is quite tiny compared to other F2, F3, and F1, you still feel it, especially when you lose the front wing in an incident. You really lose a lot of positions because the car won't steer. The car is just basically like flying up instead of sticking to the ground.
At one point in my life before I die, I want to take a open wheel car out and feel the aerodynamics one day. Yeah. One day.
No, but it's very nice. Especially I try to do this with my partners. If I have like very good relationship with them, I try to always organize something like that. But normally it goes quite hard because they're from different countries, and basically, yeah, it's difficult to also fit it in the schedule.
How does Formula 4 compare with, you know, the US has Formula 4, New Zealand has a pretty robust Formula 4, you know, and I imagine there's a series all over Europe with that. How does the Spanish F4 series compare to the others?
Yeah. I mean, the ones that I know, of course, I know that nearly every country has F4, but the ones that like I focused on the most, which is UAE, F4, F4 Italian, and the German championships, which all of them use the same chassis. There's basically two chassis you can use for F4, which is Migal or Tatus. Mm-hmm. So Tatus is the Italian one we use. Yeah, it's like also the championship can be very different, because in some championships you are allowed to change more of the setup than in others, but also in others there might be like very high team level but not so much high level of drivers, but in others is the wrong way around. Or like Spanish F4 this season, I think, is like both. It's very good and it's very high level racing, so you really have to make an effort to do good.
Who do fans know that have come from the Spanish side of F4?
Well, basically Richard Vershor is my coach and he's driving F2 now, and for example, he did a Spanish F4 in 2016. It was the first year that Spanish F4 opened its own championship.
Okay.
And he won the championship. And now, like, he's quite famous because he drives F2. Of course, it's on television and it's the highest level of racing except F1. But also, he's winning quite a bit of races in F2. And yeah, he's doing quite a good job.
What's the knowledge gap between you and him? I mean, do you feel like he is way up here when it comes to, you know, how you put a lap together, how you set the car up?
Yeah, it's gigantic, because especially like some drivers really like to learn the technical part of the car, and like some drivers really enjoy that. And I like really enjoyed reading about the car and also knowing about the car. But it's just how much you drive, and like you have to be very smart. And for me, Richard is very smart in this sense. Yeah, he's he knows much more about racing than me, but it's also normal because he has been longer racing in single seaters. But especially, I believe that in the mental side, which is also very important. He just knows how to like cool down for a quali lap. He knows how to concentrate for a race run. Basically, he knows all this stuff, which is very important. And at the end, especially in a four, where the cars are very similar, you really need to have a strong mentality. Mm-hmm. So yeah, comparing me to him on the mental side is he knows much more. Also on the technical side, but I think that it's a bit more balanced there.
Do you ever have him when he's with you? Do you ever go out and run a lap and then come back in, or run a set of laps, come back in, and then have him give you guidance and then run another set of laps? I mean, is it night and day?
Yeah, normally, yes. Sometimes, no. I mean, if it's an important run where I have to do two runs in a short amount of time, which is like, normally we do quali simulations to practice qualifying, where we just put a new set of tires and we do 8 laps, which is basically a qualifying. Qualifying is always 8 laps and you have to really put it together, all the sectors. So normally there, yes, he talks to me in between sessions, because normally we do head-to-head sessions. And also with my engineer, he normally downloads the data. And whilst I'm sitting, waiting for the next session, they both come. My engineer turns the computer around so I can see my braking shapes, my throttle application. Richard starts explaining to me about basically what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing good. So it's also very important to know what you're doing good, because like that, you know that sector is solved. You have to think about other corners, other sectors, and not over push basically in that sector, because you're doing fine. Yeah, it's very hard. It's a lot of things to talk about. And is like for me, this is probably the only subject I can talk about all day with some person if they're very interested. But at the end of the day, I think it's just they're gonna have a meltdown, because it's too much information. It's just so many complicated things.
I joke with other dads. So when we go out to dinner with friends, you know, because of Drive to Survive, the conversation flows more into racing and my son's go-karting. And, you know, they ask about, you know, if he had a bad day or whatnot. And it's like, well, we got the kart set up correctly. And then the sun came out, you know, and it just totally changed the way that we set up tires and the grip. And then, you know, the track got hot and, you know, and then the clouds came back out and it cooled off and a breeze came through and it totally changed it again. And, you know, their ears start smoking at that point. So
yeah, but it's true. I mean, it's so many factors and you cannot just say good or bad. It's not just black and white. It can sometimes be gray. It can sometimes be more white than black, but yeah, so many factors. And for me, until a person understands this, like that there are so many factors and they're so difficult to put together, he will never actually understand how hard is racing. Because also I have a million like school peers which say that racing is quite easy. You just press 2 pedals and you just steer. But it's so much more than that. You have to know when to steer, when to brake, you have to also be strong on the physical side, strong on the mental. And it's just, I would never, even if like a person is playing another sport or I don't know, just separate sport from racing, I would never like think to say, oh, it's easy. I would like try to listen and try to understand. But it's just, I know that in sports is so many factors, and especially in racing where you have a car, you have yourself, you have your engineers to talk to, the team boss. There's so many factors. So yeah, it's quite funny, but it's true.
I want to actually sit there for a second. So you're 16?
Yeah.
Okay. How have you gotten that mental fortitude? I mean, most 16-year-olds are playing video games and, you know, sitting on social media. What are you doing? or what is it about you that gives you the mental strength and the drive to go work out for your craft? I mean, you know what you want to do. I've seen your plan here. I know, you know, you've got a very detailed, thought out, articulate plan to arrive in Formula One one day. What gave you this mental capacity to do that?
Yeah, it's also quite hard. A lot of factors to take into consideration. No, but it's basically that since my dad put me in go-karting, first of all, I really like it. So I think that always a thing that you like is easier to do. And basically, yeah. And since the moment I got into karting, he said that I need to work out. But like, I hated it. But now I really understand that nobody like either wants to spend the time to do it for me, but nobody also will do it for me. Yeah. So I understand that, of course, it's hard. And of course, for me, it's hard because, I mean, I'm studying, I'm still 16 and I still don't know many things. But I mean, I try my best because also I like sports. So for me, it's quite easy to work out or to, I don't know, go cycle one day and all of this. But for me, what's more difficult is to really like try to also bring my mental like strength as much as the physical strength. I also try to do it with psychologists, like who are like there's specific racing psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
So they also help me. But also what's funny is that normally, like you said at the start, that normally 16 years old are sitting at playing video games or are sitting watching a movie. But it's just also I find time for that because I understand that even if I like it and want to become the best, I cannot sit 24/7 doing just racing. I cannot sit 5 hours on the simulator, then I do 5 hours of actual training, then I cannot do that. It's just impossible. I'm also a human being. I also need to eat, entertain myself. So, I mean, I just find time for all of that because normally also people ask me, but why do you do this and that? Like, how do you find time? No, but what's more important is that you like normally spend too much time on one thing and that's why you don't have the time for the next thing. I just try to compensate it and do a bit of everything, which at the end combines and makes it a big thing.
How did you even get, you mentioned your dad got you into karting. Like how'd this whole thing get started?
Yeah, basically he always liked cars and always his favorite car was Porsche. And we were living in Russia. Like, actually, I'm Russian, but I lived in Spain for my whole life, like for 10 years now. So when we were living in Russia, he found a go-karting place near our house, but it's just, it wasn't nothing very professional. It was just one guy who really liked coaching and he opened his small team and he had two mechanics. And basically he took me one day there. And also it's quite a funny story because when I got there, they just told me, here's the throttle, here's the brake, and here's how you steer. Now you can go. And I went and they didn't tell me anything about hand signals, which are also very important in racing. Like in karting, they use many hand signals because they cannot use the radio like in single seaters. So they didn't tell me anything about like what is the stop signal or what is the, I don't know, refuel signal. So I just went doing on laps until my fuel finished. And then they told me like, why didn't you stop? We told you many times to stop. And then my mom said, yeah, first of all, you didn't explain to him like what is stop. And secondly, if he didn't, then it means that he really liked it. So yeah, it was true. I really liked it. And we just moved on and I got to do two races in Russia. it was nothing special. I mean, it was four drivers, but yeah, it was. I mean, it was my first two races. And then we already moved to Spain and started searching for more higher level karting and just work and I do karting in Spain. And yeah, basically that's the story.
That, how, I mean, how involved was your dad and mom and that whole journey? I mean, was your dad your mechanic for a long time or?
No, he was never my mechanic, but he always pushed me and tried to understand, tried to explain to me from a young age that I really have to put the effort in it. And from a young age, he really, really tried to explain everything that I need to do, which even though I didn't understand because I was, I wasn't old enough to understand. So he normally tries to also explain his side or his opinion. And he really put in the effort also to bring me at this level. But my mom also like is really committed. She always, she always just basically tries to help me before the race to also get in the right zone. She talks to me like she tries to also, like she doesn't try to explain technical stuff, but she tries to explain more mental, which is also funny because like until one race, I didn't know that my mom even studied psychology in the university, but she normally really put me in the zone before the race. And I asked like, how do you know all these things? And then she just told me that she was she studied for psychology in university. And that's like how I understood that she can really also help me during the races.
A mom's intuition is always the best intuition. And if she's your brain coach, you're solid. I know my wife knows my children like, you know, the back of her hand and knows how to get in their head and get them motivated. So I totally get that. Yeah. So they're motorsports fans themselves.
Yeah, my dad really liked Schumacher. He watched his races. He's Formula One. Now he doesn't really watch the modern Formula One. But yeah, he really enjoyed and he really liked racing and he wanted me to be part of it. So yeah, my mom, not so much. She was always nervous that why are you putting him into this? Like professional sport is never too good because it's like too much adrenaline, too much pressure. And basically it's a dangerous sport. But yeah, but now she just stopped doing that and she really started to get into it. She really likes when I do good and like all moms. But she was never a motorsport fan, but she always helped me also.
And they're pretty involved in your career today. I mean, do they travel with you and support you?
Yeah. They travel to all the races. Normally, I try to be more individual in tests. And like if we do a simulator with my team in their workshop, normally I try to go more by my own to also start getting in that. Like at the end, I will live alone. I won't live with my parents forever. And I also need to know how to go in the right mood and do the things myself. So I try to do it individually. But normally to all the races, they travel. Sometimes together or sometimes it's either my dad or my mom. But also my mom got the motivation to travel after my crash. Basically, yeah, when I crashed, she said that she's going to every race because if I need some help or if I go into some hospital, then she wants to be by my side. So yeah, now from now on, she's always there.
Good parents, man. Good parents. So have you mainly supported this? I know once you get into regional and national karting, the cost for this type of career is massive. Are they supporting you? Do you have sponsors? Are they helping you find sponsors? Are you doing it yourself?
I tried to do it myself. I found some myself, like this year during the UAE Championship, I had the Woodville litigation funding. Yeah, he's a very good guy. He helped me a lot. And yeah, this one I found myself. Like he always he knew my family, but it was like we sat down for a meeting, for a phone call, and basically we got into this agreement. And then I also found another one myself, which is he works with me from now on. But no, my dad also helps me finding sponsors. My mom tries to give me ideas to who to write, but my dad always tries to help me find partners or sponsors. And of course, he also, like every dad, he also tries to, he also puts in the money for it, but there's also sponsors, it's not just him. So yeah, it's like a compensation, but yeah, of course, it's my dad and my mom are very important. Not only for the support, but also for the like actual racing.
It's not cheap.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not. But what? So what at your level at F4?
Yeah.
What is the value to a sponsor? So if you're calling me and you want, you know, my company to sponsor you, support you, what is a sponsor getting?
Well, basically, he's getting the privilege to work with a young talent. And I mean, it's his choice to believe in him or not. But if he's sponsoring him, it's probably that he believes in him. So he gets the privilege basically to see, like you said at the start, what goes on at the backstage of Formula One. So how to get to Formula One. But of course, he also gets the publicity. Of course, like Formula One, we put a sticker on the car, a sticker on the helmet, and then a logo like sewed to the suit. Mm-hmm. But I always try to make it like quite like a friendship more than a partnership, that we can actually like call each other if we need help. And I always try to make it also like we can see each other actually face to face, not like many people that just call, say, okay, you want to sponsor me? Yes, no, and then that's it. They never see the sponsor again until like they break the contract or they have to do the meeting. But they always try to make it, yeah, basically more of a interaction by organizing tickets for my races and also organizing some days where I don't know, like we rent a truck and maybe we go with some car with my sponsors. They can drive, I can drive, I can show them around. Mm-hmm. And they always try to find the time for my sponsors, especially when they come to my races. I really, in the break time between the sessions, I really try to go and explain them something about the car or what is the racing. They can also ask me questions, which yeah, I really like. And I think that this is how it really should be between a sponsor and you, because I mean, this person is investing huge money into you. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because he wants someday for you to pay back with some more customers or more publicity, but I think it should really become more like a friendship. And a sponsor, of course, if he sees talent in you, he will be honored to invest in you, but you should also be nice to him. It's not, he will not only invest the money just because you're good, like you're a good driver. You have to be a nice guy also.
I can tell you that I've been in hospitality and kind of the support series, and just being able to get next to the car, to look, you know, look under the bodywork and you know, not sit in the cockpit, but actually like look in it and, you know, interact with the engineers, the mechanics, the driver, the team owners. It's a really great place for businesses to connect with other businesses. And even if, you know, I come and I am your sponsor and I come to a race and I bring clients, business partners,
whatnot and expose them to that world, A, it helps you, you know, create more sponsor opportunities, but B, it helps me connect to my business partners and my customers as well. It's a really unique system that I don't think I fully grasped until being in that earlier this year, at how valuable it was to sponsors to be a sponsor and also to cultivate those friendships. Cause I agree with you. I work with some young drivers here stateside, and you know, those are really, really neat friendships, because you're a high functioning human being, and most entrepreneurs and business owners are encouraged and energized by being around people like that. So you're getting around like-minded people. That's great that you're raising your own sponsors. It's a rare trait. It's something that you have to have, because it only gets
more important, especially with the budget growing. But as you said, yeah, it's for me, it's the best atmosphere to try to just not even do business, but just build a kind of relationship. Because even when when I was not racing in a four, was the first time I visited, like I was amazed by how the cars work, what like the sound on the straight, just getting to know more about the car, like what's the maximum speed, I don't know, like what does this part do, what does that part do? Yeah, it's just an amazing atmosphere. And even though people think that F4 is like the people that don't understand normally tell me, why are you racing in F4 and not in F1? But of course, you cannot go like, okay, Max Verstappen was a special case because he went to Formula One at 17. But now the law of F1 states that you cannot go until you are 18 and have a driving license and super license points. So, yeah, so it's just... I mean, it's an amazing atmosphere, even though it's not an F1. It's not F1 and it's not an F1 car. And yeah, for me, it's just amazing how everything works.
Don't let people discount that. It's a tough road to get where you're at. You've accomplished a lot. Don't let anybody take that away from you.
Thank you.
Does F4 support F2 and F3? I mean, are you guys running a support series to them, or is yours separate?
No, we like it's separate, because our championship, even though it's certified by the FIA, it's not called FIA F4 like the F3 championship and the F2 championship. It's just called F4 and the country you're racing in. But some events we do the same racing weekend as F1, for example. Last year in December, I went to UAE, like the closing round of F1, and I raced there as a support event.
Wow, but you were at Abu Dhabi?
Yeah. It was very nice. I mean, the race itself, I didn't really do good because it was the new car, the Tattoos Gen 2, and it was very difficult to adapt for me. But yeah, it was a very nice event, like even racing at the same time as F1. And you can see just whilst you are driving, you can see all the fans going around. Yeah, it's very nice. But but normally it's quite separated, and it's quite like prioritized. Even the F2 have like, for example, one premium pass that the drivers get. That is, if they want to give it to a sponsor, it's only one pass that you get, which you can go into the F1 paddock. Like even F2 drivers cannot go into the F1 paddock. So yeah, all the series are very prioritized and quite separate, but it's still like without one step, there wouldn't be the next. So it's also quite dependent of each other.
Did I read here correctly? Are you part of the Alpine Driver Academy?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Well, keep working towards it. I've been scanning through, you know, your plans and your business plan. And I like, for a 16-year-old, like this is actually really detailed, very clear, very articulate. and just it's actually quite amazing that I don't know if you had help, but like this was I don't see that.
I mean, I don't really have help writing the things and planning the things. I just received help again from my coach, Richard. He basically explained what to do, and he recommended me to download the LinkedIn app and create a profile, because he said that he finds quite good partners and like really builds a relationship with them. Like even on Instagram, which is like used just for social media, you can still find someone. I mean, it's a very rare case, but you can still find someone, and it's quite useful. So yeah, I just received some guidance, but he also sometimes helps me like prepare for a meeting, but only if like he's, I don't know, if I have an event in Barcelona and I don't know, on Saturday I have an email and I have to respond. He normally stays at my house when we have the event at Barcelona. So normally he helps me in that, but mostly I did it by myself.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, it's quite difficult also to come up with ideas which you can offer, but it's good to have them.
It is. So in your career in motorsports, what was your pinch me moment? Like at what point were you like, I can't even believe that I'm here in this place or this situation? What's been the most amazing?
Yeah, I think the last year, the closing event at Barcelona, basically like I got into a four and it was my third race, and everyone competing against me was like 16 and 17 and older. Mm-hmm. And they did the whole season and it was just my third race. And I was just, I arrived P5 to the finish line. So it was very good, especially like thinking back and seeing that I did it in a four. It's not karting anymore. It's like important result. It already starts showing that you can be there in the top five, which is the most important positions, because even in Formula 2, you have to get the top five in the championship to get just the super license for F1 to get enough points. So yeah, I think that was the, for sure, one of my best moments, because it was just the third race. But also just being in a four for me is very something like very shocking, because I used to read about F1 in school, like books, and just watching some F1 races and like reading some news on BBC about F1. And I always used to say that Spa-Francorchamps is my favorite track, and I always dreamed of racing there. And then I'm actually racing now on this track. Yeah, it's something very unbelievable. I never thought when I was in karting that I would achieve this, but even achieving, not like the result, but even achieving being in a four and racing on a track you always dreamed of, I think is very important. Like, you should always encourage people not to give up on their dreams, which like is also very important, because no matter how much effort you put and no matter how much sweat you drop, it doesn't matter if you give up on the dream. You should always continue on it.
How was Eau Rouge?
Yeah, it was, the first time was very scary. especially when the first time I tried to do it flat, I went off a bit and was very scary for the first time.
Do you still kart?
No, like I did just one karting day with, again, my coach and his coach from karting, just to change a bit and to... It's also very good to learn to adapt to things quickly by changing cars and all of this. But no, I don't do it regularly. I might go another day, but I don't.
How important is marketing to you? And I mean that through social media platforms, through I know you guys have done, I've seen some of your stuff that you've done with your coaches and your team and whatnot. I mean, how important is that to people knowing who you are?
Yeah, it's very important, especially in higher classes, because of course, at the end, the sponsor always wants good results, but also he wants for a large public to see you. So it's very important. Sometimes you have to do silly things to get the views and the followers. But even though I'm running my account now for 3 years, I still barely understand how it works, because some days I can get like quite a good public, but other days I cannot. And like sometimes when I'm sleeping and I wake up the next day and I see that I grow some followers, I still don't understand how it's possible, because I understand that some people have different time zones, but it's still like most of the people that follow me are sleeping. So I don't really understand how it works, but it's very important. And also it's very hard to do this part, to get the followers and to get people to know you. But I mean, I try my best. And of course, results normally help to do this, because also you can see that on a weekend that you are on the top five, and like when you're on the top five, the commentator always speaks about you. The championship post thinks about you. You always get more followers than when you are driving like outside of the top 10. And of course, when you're on the podium, you get maybe double the engagement, but I mean, it's very hard. So yeah, it also, a lot of factors have to go into it. But also what I see with some drivers is that, like as my dad explained, he also never ran his account. He's not a professional Instagram employee, which tries to get you to the verified. But he just explained to me that even if you are a driver, you should not always focus on posting things about your car. You should also post things about your life, what you do, and you should be interesting to the people. Of course, racing is interesting, but at one point, some people don't understand what you're saying, or some people don't understand what you're posting. And it just gets boring if you get to the profile and you see, ah, okay, it's just car, 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 car. So you always have to try to be entertaining. So I always try to also do that, and try to put things also about my life, daily life.
Your dad is wise. Just keep paying attention. What does he do?
Yeah, my dad opened a company a long time ago, and it's basically a road building company.
I was going to ask you if your dad ran his own business. A lot of what you're saying and just your behavior traits are what I see in a lot of kind of entrepreneurial families. They understand the way things work, very motivated, very hardworking. Now I'm putting all the pieces together. I see all this.
He runs his own company, but like he's also wise in things that he doesn't do, because also about Instagram, he doesn't run the Instagram for the business. It's just some content manager is running for the business.
Right.
So he knows quite a bit of stuff, but also what you said about like having an entrepreneurial attitude is also, I really like the fact of having a business, and like I really like the like discovering what entrepreneurs think when they open a business, when they go to meetings, when they sponsor or invest in other people. And like normally people also ask me, do you like going to school, or are you like everyone, like all the drivers that hate it? I mean, I'm not like, I don't really like it. I'm not like, oh, I want to go to school every day, but I like some subjects. For example, business is very interesting for me. I also get some knowledge of that, but of course, yeah, my dad is the primary help I get in these things.
Yeah, you are running your own business. You're a race car driver. You have to raise money. You have to perform. The pressure is high. You know, you get it. Yeah. I'm impressed. I think that's really neat. What advice do you have for young kids out there karting, chasing this dream?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would have some technical advice, which is basically I stick to karting for a long time. But I think you should really make jumps and try to go through the steps quite quickly. Like, don't stick to one thing for a long time, because after comes another, which of course has the philosophy of racing, but it changes. Like, you have to adapt very quickly to it if you want to perform. Sorry?
Hold on real quick. So I had Mario Andretti on my show yesterday.
Yep.
You know who he is, right?
Yep.
Okay. That was his advice. So just to affirm you and your basis point, you know, he'll be on the, I'll have that posted in a couple of weeks, but that was his advice, is like, get there, win, move on, keep going. He's a great.
Yeah. But especially in higher classes, where it's just, you get like maximum 2 chances, 2 years, you cannot really stick to it. You should really try to put as much effort as possible and do the right thing quickly. But on the other hand, I would recommend to really to, after, not wonder and regret, why didn't I do this? You should really, really, really put your effort, even though you think, or you don't believe that you someday you're getting to into cars, or someday you might be F1. You should really always put the effort. And even though for like currently it's difficult to find the budget, it's not like only for you. A lot of people have this, including me. So you should really never give up, because at one point, like, a spark will come and everything will fall into place. And it's really important to be at the right level when that spark comes, because then it's the time for you to perform and to shine, basically.
That's a good word. That's a good word. How do people find you?
How do people find me? Like, on social medias or?
Social media, website. How do people find, if sponsors find you, how do teams find you?
I mean, I have the same name on all social medias as my real name. I don't put anything at the end or before it. And normally people find me if they're interested, like, also to see what you have to do to become a racing driver, or what physical activities you do or whatever. Normally they follow me on Instagram, but of course on LinkedIn, I'm also now getting a lot of requests. And but normally I think that they find me, I mean, because they're interested, first of all. And second of all, they know that I can get the job done. So I think that that's the primary thing that they look at.
That's awesome. Well, Miran, I really appreciate you being on the show. I if there's anything that any listeners can do to help you out, I imagine it's to reach out to you and as a sponsor and a supporter, and just somebody that can help you extend, you know, the reach of what you're trying to accomplish. You're always welcome on the show. If you got something coming up next year, the year after that, or any new big news and you want to get it out there, you're always welcome to reach out and let us know what you're doing. And I appreciate you being on the show. You're a good
speaker. Thank you very much. I also appreciate getting invited. I really liked it. It's my first podcast, so I really enjoyed it. And thank you.
You're a great speaker. Most people sweat it out, get nervous, they stumble all over their words, and you're very articulate.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.